We are in chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and we will pick up. We did cover a few verses, but we'll just go back and pick it up. And we're almost, like I said, we're almost there, almost to the end. I got cheated out of some of my meditation time this week. I've been doing a little more work, but just thinking of when I'm going through Galatians, and he's really recapping this. And I'm thinking in chapter 1, he defined his apostleship to the Galatians. You have to have some authority when you start to correct a person. Yeah. You know, I remember one of my teachers used to say, "Who died and made you boss?" Right. And you can think of Paul. You know what? Who died and made him boss? The Lord. The Lord did.
Jesus Christ.
And in chapter 2, he begins to defend the message. And that's, he could have easily folded because it was him and Titus against the group. But he didn't compromise the message that the truth of the gospel might continue. Chapter 3, he starts describing how we actually get this. This meaning this righteousness, this position that we have, this liberty that we have in Christ. Chapter 4, he gives an example of between Ishmael and Isaac that law and grace doesn't mix. Never did, never will. They're two opposites. And because we are children of grace, children of promise, children of faith, he tells us in chapter 5 to do what?
Stand fast
in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And, you know, we talked about as we started last week is how people are so, they don't embrace their freedom. It surprises them how free they are. When you really learn grace, it surprises them how free they are. You know, in Corinthians in chapter 6, we won't turn there, but he writes to the Corinthians and he says all things. He gives a whole list. You know, I guess we better turn there. Look at chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is amazing. Because even people who believe grace have a problem with this. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Unrighteous people are not heirs. Why not? Because they're unrighteous. They're not believers. Right. Are you unrighteous? Is a believer unrighteous?
No.
No, we've been pronounced righteous.
Okay. He starts off the very first chapter. He tells them who they are. He says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Some of who?
The believers.
Some of them believers. He says, "But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, all those things he lists, you know what's interesting about those words he lists there? They're not, he's not listing acts, A-C-T-S, acts. These are people. He's giving them, these are titles. E-R, you know, like an adulterer, that's who they are. He's contrasting the person, an unsaved person. That's God looks at them. He says he's an adulterer. He's a fornicator. And he says, and such were what? Some of you. Don't we do some of those same things?
If we didn't, we will.
It's one of them is coming, right? But he says, but such were some of you. You know what? Ed said something, and I'll say this because he's here. And I've always, it didn't have to be him. It could have been anybody. But I disagree with some terminology that we use. Well, we always will say this. I'm just a sinner. I'm just an old, dirty, rotten sinner. I'm not.
You're not.
Certainly, you certainly are not.
I'm not. And such were some of you. But you are what?
Washed, sanctified, and
justified. I have a new identity. I have a new identity. We have a new identity. And when you look through Paul's letters, the only place he says is in Ephesians, he says, remember in time past, you were this.
But don't we slip back now?
But that's the point is, he's telling you who you, this is the thing, this is starts off, you are a new what? If any man be in Christ, he's a dirty, rotten sinner.
See? All things.
It's new. And I'm just saying that because I thought that way. You appreciate where you've been brought from, don't we? He says, and such were some of you. But that's a big but. Yeah, and he says, verse 12. 12 is what I wanted. All things are what? All what things?
All behaviors.
All what things?
Behaviors.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Word says
so. See, that's he's going back to he just lists some things that people do. And he says, and such were some of you. But you have a different identity now. All things are lawful. All things are lawful, what? Unto me. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. But I will not be brought under the power of any.
We're just freed from the burden of the law.
What does the law do?
It condemns us.
It condemns you. It tells you, it lists some behaviors that you should not what?
Engage in.
That you don't do.
And if he's taking the law away, okay, here's a good example. We were talking about this coming in here before you came. Speeding. We are not exempt from the law of the land. But if we were, if they said, listen, you guys, if you're a citizen, you can do whatever speed limit you want. It's at your discretion. So if I do 45 or if I do 105, am I right? Is it lawful for me to do that?
It's lawful.
Mm-hmm. Is it expedient? Well, it might be. It might get me from here to there in a faster manner, but is it? It's why not? It's dangerous.
Yeah,
you're endangering, right?
But in some states, it's not against the law to go 105.
Well, we're just hypothetical.
Well, it's got to be against the law, right?
But is it expedient?
If you
see a little town coming up.
Well, you got to have common sense when you're doing anything.
That's what
you're
saying.
Oh, it is?
Right, and that's the thing. But grace is what I'm getting at is this is he's showing them they're free but they're not free to do that to do those things. That's not consistent with who you are. Our problem is we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. We've never been taught that. We've never been said, you're a grown son, you're grown, you're an adult in Christ, and you're free. That's why we talked about the freedom, the liberty. When he freed you, he freed you completely. There's a passage back in the Old Testament where if a slave was... Where if he was laboring under his master, and the time came where if he wanted to go free, he would let him free. And he would take his wife and he would take his children. But if he did not want to go free, he would go back to his master, and his master would take him and bore a hole in his ear. And from then on, he would be the servant of that master because he volunteered to do that. Do you remember us? But anyway, when Christ says that, and we quote the verses, whom the Son shall make free, he shall be free indeed. And we think about indeed, where Annette, that's a joke, I guess, where, what's her name? What's her name? No. Sharon's daughter, granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, she went on the site, indeed.com, and she got a job like that.
Right.
And that's why that's why we were joking about it. It's indeed.com. It works.
Indeed it does.
And when Christ, he says, if a man be free, he's what? Free?
Indeed.
It works. If he freed you, it works. You're free. And when he freed them, back to Galatians, when he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And be not entangled again. We don't think about that as because we're not being put under the law. We aren't. But there are believers who are being put under a performance again. Told what they have to do to please God, what they should be doing, and people are putting them under performance, and they do it.
People let them drill holes in their ears.
Well, that was back then, yeah. It's
common sense. They didn't have it.
Well, it's like just a pierced ear.
It
was just a pierced ear. But he says,
ear.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant.
That's what bore a hole in your ear. But anyway, he says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If a man be circumcised, Christ shall profit him nothing. Why?
Because Christ did it all. And if you're doing something under the law, then you're saying you've got to do something. He didn't do it all.
But as an infant, so many infants are circumcised today.
If a man be circumcised as a religious requirement, if he thinks that that's making him more spiritual, or if he thinks that's getting him closer in his relationship to the Lord.
Okay.
Now, we do that today, and it has no religious bearing at all. Well, for the most part, some people do it as a religious, but they don't realize it. It means nothing. And he uses circumcision here because that was the Galatians' problem, where they were told that this, you have to be circumcised and keep the law, and that seals the deal. That finishes it off. Today we use what? the new circumcision, that or whatever it might be, attendance. You know, it's make the list, right? But he said, Christ shall profit you nothing. I like it. You couldn't get the full advantage out of him. If you think there's anything else that you can do to get closer to him, a religious performance, the minute you think that, then you have lost the... You're thinking it's wrong. You have lost the profit of Christ. It's kind of... Well, I think we used this example before, is anytime you, if there's something that's full strength, that's the way you take it. The moment you begin to dilute anything, it loses its what?
Potency.
So the minute you start, if it's all Christ, and he says it's all me, and you begin to interject any of your righteousness into the equation, he says you just lost the profit. You just lost the strength that he has, that he wants to put to your account. That's why I can say, well, we just talked about it. That's why I know that I'm a new creature, because I know that he made me that. And I don't look at me. I look at what he imputed to me. What?
His righteousness.
How righteous is that?
The righteousness of God.
Is it? Is it really? That's why I asked that question. Where this is, well, what happens when I sin? Do I confess to the Lord?
Sin and back to the cross.
Do I mean, people, we struggle with that now. Even believers who know, I know my sins are gone, but you know, this might sound bad, but if I do, he even told the Corinthians, he says, you judge yourself whether you be in the faith. He says, you guys, the behavior, your behavior, he did not say confess your fault. He said, you judge what. Look at 6:16, 1 Corinthians 16. This is...
It's like people that say, I just don't have enough faith. It's not the amount of faith, it's the potency of the faith itself.
Say it again.
In other words, you'll hear people say all the time, I just don't have enough faith. And it isn't about the quantity of faith that we possess. It's about the potency of his faith. And that's all. It is unadulterated.
Okay. Yeah. It's not your subject, your subjective faith. Right. It's your objective faith. Okay. What are you putting your faith in?
Right.
And if it's in him, it's great. But if it's in you, it's bad. Okay, I said 13. It's 2 Corinthians 13. I think I said 16.
Said 16, but that's okay. I'm at 13.
All right, 2 Corinthians 13, though.
Well, second.
Yeah.
No, I'm not there.
You know what? What did I come over here for? I forgot what I. What were we talking about?
That you judge yourselves. You don't.
Oh, right. Okay, about sins. Yeah. Should we confess our sins? And he writes this to the Corinthians, and he says, look at verse 1. I'm just going to start at verse 1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves. How would they do that? How would a believer examine himself?
You just look at the way you are and what you're doing.
Do I really believe this?
Review.
What am I trusting?
All that. Examine. He says, you examine yourselves whether ye be what?
In the faith.
Prove your own selves. Know ye not?
Christ is in you, lest ye be reprobate.
You missed one. Know ye not your own selves? How that Christ is in you, except ye be unbeliever? He says, you know if you made that heart transaction or not, don't you? Don't you?
If you can't judge yourself, you can't judge others.
He said, you examine yourself whether you... Like, whether you believe this. Do you believe this? He said, know ye not that Christ is in you except he be reprobate? But, I like when he follows up the very next verse. He says, but I trust that ye shall know that what?
We are not
reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be what?
As reprobates.
Watch this. For we can do what?
Nothing
against the truth, but what? For the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your what?
Perfection.
We want you to grow up. What I like, though, he says, you act just like a sinner. But I want you to know that you're not.
Every time I open my mouth, I guess I go on down.
But he's saying this. He says, but I want you to know that you're what? That you're not a sinner. Though we be as a sinner, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. You know what he's saying? I can look at you and I can say anything I want to say. No way she's saved. I cannot believe not the way she. You know what? That just shows them how potent that grace is. Because if she says, I'm a believer, I don't care what you say, guess what? The deal is sealed. And it's not up to you. You may not like it. That's what Paul says. We don't want you to do evil, not so we can look good. You know, they say, let us do evil, that good may come. Did they say that to the Romans? That's what grace always has that. It always has that cloud over it. Because you're free. You're free. Yeah, you know what? Now just Creflo Dollar. I was looking at this. He gave a really good example. He said, when people start thinking like that, he said he had a dog. And then he had chained his dog up. So one day, you know what, when he comes home and he came home and he unhooked his dog and he let him out. And he let him out, and sure enough, he ran all up, down, all around, and he couldn't get him back. But after a while, he let the dog out all the time. And then sometime he would come home and guess where the dog would be? Sitting on the porch. Because the new freedom was exciting at first. But then he found out that...
That's why I got fed. You're that example too.
This is where the blessing is. Yeah. That's how we are. when you don't have information, mm-hmm. when you're not mature or not maturing, the first thing you think about when they say grace, you mean to tell me?
I can do anything.
What were you doing before you got saved? Perfection, maturation. It's a process. So don't get caught up in the process when you look at somebody and say, he couldn't be. Well, if I'm not, you're not. But you can't, like I said, you cannot do anything against the truth. The truth is, they were sanctified. They were justified. They were washed. They were new creatures in Christ.
Just green.
Is what?
They were green.
Just green. And mean. Yeah. That's what he's... Stand fast in the what? Liberty. Wherewith Christ has made us free. Now we go back to Galatians. Man, we... Right. Where don't you want the profit out of Christ? Don't you want all the profit out of Christ? Why would you cheat him if he says, look, you are a son. That's who you are. I made you a son. You are complete. You're seated. You're sealed. You're glorified, justified, sanctified. Why would you cheat that from him? From his purchase, from his efficacious work, and say, I don't think he's saved. He couldn't be and do that. How long did... Look, we do things right now. Me. And I'm teaching. Shouldn't I be... I should be holy, shouldn't I?
Aren't you?
I bring us.
Right.
I'm saying. I'm saying. I do some things that are lawful, but not expedient.
That's how I'm gonna put it next time.
So, but nothing. My position is secured.
Absolutely. Praise the Lord.
Fully persuaded.
That's why Paul, when you get over to Ephesians, he says, I beseech you, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What vocation is that?
Ambassador? Member of the body?
Yeah. All of our position.
That's it. You know what? You can sum it all up.
Son.
You're a son, right? That's it. That's why we say it. The moment you say, I trust him, that's when he says, I want to now start the what? Edification process. That's why it's important for us to stay in the book, because that's the only thing that grows us up, that we think differently. That's what he told the Corinthians. He says, this is what I want, your perfection. So you can stop thinking like babies. Right? Galatians, they were just, they weren't, maybe not babies, but they were infants.
They were being blown about by every wind of doctrine.
At least one doctrine, right. Okay, he says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. He says it again. I like that. He says it again in a different way. He says, if he said in verse 2, he says, if you circumcise, you're taking away the profit. And he says, if you're keeping the law, you're a debtor to do the whole law. And he says, if you're trying to be justified by the law, you are fallen from what?
Grace.
He says, you are It's become of no effect to you. That's you can't enjoy it. We were talking about, if a person always thinks they have to work for it, grace is no effect to them. They're not standing in grace. They're not.
No practical benefit.
No practical benefit. They can't enjoy it. Wouldn't you want to know that you're secure? Stop struggling. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all that what? Believe. The end of the struggle. Am I doing right? Am I doing enough? Am I going to make it in? If I die right now, what would happen? Where would I go? Do you know that? Mm-hmm. If you walked out and got hit by a bus, where would you be? Do you know your position? If you have to think about it, well, there's some things I didn't do, or grace is of no effect.
Yep.
Grace doesn't have you scared. Grace doesn't have you worried. Grace doesn't have you in turmoil. It does what? It frees you. It gives you, in Romans it says, it gives you peace. Peace with God. Access into this grace wherein you stand. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, this gospel of grace, you are saved if you keep in what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That's
so what does that mean?
If I'm preaching to you, if you can hear it, if you didn't make that hard transaction. People say it all the time. Do you believe it? I think you believe the Lord? Come on down. Okay, come on down. And they come down, but they never made the heart transact. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Not with the mind. He has to put his total faith in what?
Jesus.
Not just rote. Not just repeat after me. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He has to be fully persuaded that Christ has done what?
Everything. So we were talking about Sunday. Somebody says, today's the day you need to make the decision to accept Christ. Okay, so they get up and they walk down the aisle.
That's right. Well, you said that, yeah.
But what really happened? They decided, but it doesn't mean they believed and understood everything Christ did.
Right. If nothing, that's why he talked to the Galatians. Is that's why he said, I'm afraid of you. I travail in pain until, that's what he meant by Christ being formed in them again. He said, I told you the gospel. I evidently set forth Christ crucified among you. Did you really believe it? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made?
So I think I remember you saying when you started Galatians that this was the one book where he didn't identify the Galatians as believers.
Didn't call them saints.
Right. He didn't start off that way. Right.
And I think that's good, because it seems to me that these verses right here that you're reading can be to believers or non-believers. I mean, he could be to a mixed crowd, because, yes, he's saying stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And for those who are in that liberty, they can't fall from grace.
Right.
But to those who are listening to the message and haven't made that complete heart commitment, he's saying, I say to you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall... Because they're still... they're still split. They're still mixing law and grace. So they're not saved yet, really, don't you think? If the ones that are in that position where they're saying, well, I've got to go get circumcised so I can be saved.
Right. You see, if he didn't mark them, guess what? I'm gonna call them what Paul called them. Right. Oh, foolish Galatians. And it's for, you know what, look, I don't know, we come here every week. I don't know if you all are saved. I'm just going by, you know what, but our testimony. I'm not in your heart, right? I can't really, I mean, I know, I believe it, but.
We have to examine ourselves.
Only we can. It's between us and the Lord.
Look, I know a lady. You know her too, but I'm not going to. I know a lady. One day, I mean, this was, may have been churning in her mind, but one day she says, I don't believe that anymore. I'm like, what do you mean? I don't believe that anymore. You don't believe what? I don't believe that grace. I don't believe Christ. I don't believe Christ died. I don't believe any of that. Like, wow. Like, 10, 20 years? It's like, so what? I'm a so-and-so now. But it's like, wow, to this day, she's still doing that. And a member of family, they called me. They said, I don't know what to do. I don't know, what am I going to do? How do I? I said, don't do anything. What can you do?
Right.
I said, listen, that's where you can do nothing what?
Against the church.
But Paul said this. He says, if we believe not, he what? Abideth faithful. He cannot
deny himself.
I said, it doesn't matter if she made a hard transaction, whatever time that was. It doesn't matter if she completely, if she got on a speaker megaphone and said, I don't believe in this.
If she made that original transaction.
It's right. It doesn't matter. Because he cannot what? He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself.
It's like he can't be unbaptized.
Right. You know, pastors say it ain't like a car. You know, you get in and out of the car, you get in, you get out. He says salvation is not like that. Remember when God called Noah into the ark, he called them all in, and then the scripture said what?
He closed.
Who closed the door? Can Noah get out?
Not if God had
not until. Not he went through the wrath, he rested, and the Lord had to open the door.
He was sealed.
He was sealed in there. It's a type of Christ. It is. Just like us. It doesn't matter what you like. You can say what you want about people, but. Thing is, and that's what it's God's work.
So, in other words, to follow with your example, Noah could have been in there, person, everything else, but he went into the ark.
He went in voluntarily.
He believed.
I've been in here too long. I'm ready to get out. I'm stir crazy. It doesn't matter. He says, when the wrath is done,
I'm opening the door.
Until then.
Yourself.
Can you see, you know what? It's his work. And but he says, he's become of no effect unto you. If you decide to work, if you have in your mind that it's something that I need to do, he's become of no effect unto you.
Which means his death, burial, and resurrection doesn't help you then.
Why not?
Because you don't believe in it.
You don't believe what?
That he died for your sins.
That you said the key word, alone. You don't believe that he did it all.
Right.
He did do it all, didn't he?
Yeah.
If he needed help, it would have been two people.
Right.
Or three or four.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't need help. You said it Sunday. We were ungodly. In due time, he said he died for the ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't bring anything. That's what you brought to the table. That, your wickedness. Right? Enemies. And he says, if he died for you while you were an enemy, much more that you, if you trust him, you shall be saved from wrath by him. Much more, right? He said, verse, for we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said, we wait. We wait. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There you go. We know we're not perfect down here. Don't we? You know I'm not perfect. You know, you might, people have their own opinion of themselves. But you know I'm not. And she knows I'm not. And we can always, you know, find the fault in others. But we wait through the Spirit. That's why, you know what? That's mixture. Yeah? We wait for the hope, for the expectation that one day, guess what? I'll be just like him practically.
Right. That what he's pronounced us is practically.
I'll be right. I will live up to the vocation. But that's what I'm saying, and where he says, think how far you're setting yourself back if you continue to work. Because your righteousness does this. It makes the gap wider.
Right. You're out.
Get in the ark. Right. You know what? When Noah, you're right. When Noah preached to those people, don't you know? On the 121st year, or the day after that,
right.
You think it was some knocks on the ark door?
Okay.
Who shut the door?
Lord.
So, Paul says that they did run well, right? Who hath bewitched you? You did run well. So, they made the heart transaction, right? But they just can't grow now that they've turned again to bondage, to the beggarly elements.
Right. Okay. Right. The minute you get, and that's where Ed was saying, and I agree with that, is, because he says things like, well, he's not sure.
He's questioning if they ever did.
He's not.
This
covers believers and unbelievers. He doesn't know who they are. Because
I believe, you know what? It covers believers in whom he's in doubt of.
Right. Yeah.
And he's telling them, I'm in doubt of you.
Right.
He says, I know what you said. I know I was there. I know you heard it. I know you said you believed it. But now I don't know.
Do you suffer so many things in vain?
He said, "You started off." That's what we do. I mean, you know, it's my sister here. We had a whole group of teenagers. My class was we had girls and boys. It was a whole group, maybe 30, 40 of them.
Wow.
And as we, you know, and how can you a mature person when you don't know what you're doing? But anyway, we grew up, they grew up, and when they got of age, they left. If they left, where do you think they went?
Already.
Some of them. But where did they went?
They should have
to the world.
And recruited or planted seeds.
They went to the world because they weren't right.
Oh,
even though that's why you can spend the time, but if you don't have if the edification process is not there, if you don't know what you're doing, you can even have the right message and still not know what to do. And so it doesn't take. It's not their fault. It just happened that way. It wasn't. But how can we say that none of them made that transaction?
You don't know
that. Some of them come back. Some of them don't. But you don't know the thought process. You did run well. Who did hinder you? You don't know. You don't know what the process is. And we always say, well, they'll come back around, you know. And that's why with he that you can do nothing against the truth, he that begun a good work, he'll perform it. It's going to be some people in heaven that they're going to be shocked at there. Like, wow. If they made that, you know what? I believe that. And sometimes you can go so far that you even forget that. You forget that. You know, like, you know what? Because you're thinking about yourself. I'm so far from the Lord. I used to be saved, but I'm not now. You ever heard anybody say that? Mm-hmm. I used to be saved, but I'm not now. Like,
but I thought when you got to heaven, when you get to heaven, that you don't remember anybody down here. They're not in your thoughts anymore. Did I misunderstand a lesson somewhere?
I believe you did.
Did I?
That's.
I thought the scriptures say that the dead don't know what's going on.
He just said, "How would you get? Yeah, you do. You know. You will know. You will know.
You will know."
Anyway, that's enough for tonight. We didn't cover too much, but we'll pick it up next week. Verse 7. Oh no, we won't. It'll pick it up wherever he is. Well, we'll stop there until the week after that.
What are y'all talking about here?